Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's show is entitled Stop Lying Actions in Your Life by Sound Spiritual Practices. I'm going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 30 in the Old Testament, beginning at verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Verse 8, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. It is imperative that believing ones understand that in the Old Testament, God was met by his people in history. They related to God in time. In Hebrew theology, the idea of the eternal had to do with an aspect of time or in some way related to time, such as, for instance, eternity was considered as the dim future that was to arise at some point. But God was met in history with his people. And so this helps us to understand that the people of God, since they met him in time, understood God through concrete actions. God taught his people his love for them through his actions toward them. Salvation history is filled with the actions of God toward his people, his positive actions, his reaffirming actions, his actions of deliverance, or his action of deliverance when they were in bondage in Egypt. God kept his promise. God kept his word. God provided them water when they needed water. He provided them food when they needed food. He provided them protection from their enemies when they needed protection. The book of Judges is about God's deliverance of his people when they were in dire straits under oppression. And so this oppression made them turn to God or look to God for deliverance. And he faithfully delivered them. And so concrete actions are imperative. And in this particular passage, notice the writer's emphasis on the word of God. Every word of God is pure, or the Hebrew word is seraph, and it means to smelt or refine, such as metals, to refine metals. That is to, for instance, to refine gold to the point where all of the impurities are subsequently removed so that one has pure gold. And so we read, he is a shield. We have divine action here. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Notice the divine action. God becomes a shield to those who do what? They take action to take refuge And so notice the reciprocity or the reciprocal nature of the action. God becomes a shield. Then the individual or those who go to God, the idea is fleeing to God for safety, to dwell beneath the wings of the Almighty for safety. Verse 6, do not add to his words. Moses told his people not to add to the word of God. In Revelation 22, the writer states, do not add to the words of the prophecy of this book, or a subsequent action will follow. That is, God will add to that individual the plagues that are written therein. And so the scriptures are binding, they are sacred. The scripture cannot be broken. And so the scripture tells us something wonderful about the nature of God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Do not add to his words. Now, in the Old Testament, we read in 1 Samuel about Samuel's commission of Saul, the first king of Israel, to go and to make an end of the Amalekites. Well, Saul did not do what he was supposed to do. So we have an instance of incomplete obedience. Saul brings back the best of the animals. He even brought back the Amalekite king, Agag, whose name in Hebrew means violent. And so we read that Samuel asked for a sword, and there he took care of Agag. He put Agag to death at Gilgal. Gilgal, according to Joshua 5 is where the people of God, after their long journey, these are the children now of the people whose carcasses had fallen in the wilderness. It is at Gilgal that the covenant of circumcision was reinstituted, and the people of God gave themselves back to God at this ancient site. And so here was the sacred action, to deal with the past. Let us forget the past and move on. Well, King Saul decided that he would not do or carry out the orders of the prophet Samuel, who had gotten his orders from God. And so Saul only killed what he believed. He only got rid of what he believed would be sufficient to please God. And so we also read that he made a monument to himself. This is King Saul. And so when he got back and Samuel confronted him, Saul gave his excuses, or his excuse for incomplete obedience. And then God told him, that is King Saul, that he was going to take the king from him. So a lying action on the part of the king, incomplete obedience on the part of the king, a failure to carry out the known will of God, is adding to the will of, to the word of God by one's actions. We see this same distortion in Genesis 3, wherein the Nekash, or the Shining One, had the first theological, recorded theological conversation about God. It was a conversation about God with the woman, who Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians was completely and thoroughly deceived. The Nekash seduced her with lies. His lies led to a lying action on her part in taking the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she also gave her husband of the fruit, and he did eat. Now, since he was the federal head of the race, it is through his lying action that the race incurred sin. And so sin entered into the world, Paul writes in the book of Romans, by one man. By one man, sin entered into the world, and then by the through the first Adam, and then it is through the second Adam that sin is taken away. John chapter 1, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is important to understand that one can add to the word of God through lying actions. Now, there are people, for instance, in Western culture, our emphasis is on the cognitive and on the verbal. People say a lie or people tell a lie. We know that there are pathological liars. We know that there are congenital liars, etc. Nevertheless, the term lie or liar in Greek is the term pseudos, so it refers to that which is false or falsehood. Here, in verse 6, do not add to his words or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. And the word prove here means to expose to the sunlight or to expose that individual in front of sunshine. A liar is one who deceives. He deceives. He or she deceives by either words or actions or both. And so John tells us in 1 John that as he is, so are we in this world. God expects us to live lives that are well pleasing to him. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It is now that as believing ones, we clean up our lives. We get holy. We become righteous on a practical level. We already have positional righteousness through Christ Jesus. We have the imputed righteousness of Christ. His righteousness has been reckoned to our account. Now, our challenge is the practice of practical sanctification. And so, through prayer, through study of God's Word, through meditation on the Word of God, you will note that certain things begin to disappear in your life. You will note that as you get closer to God, and as his light shines into your life and into your heart through his word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As God's word is allowed more entrance into your life, the entrance of thy word giveth light. The things that have held you back will begin to disappear. You will have a greater sense of spiritual wellness. You will note that spiritual diseases begin to fall away. Lust, fornication, the desire for adulterous affairs, all kinds of lust, the behavior that you thought would never be satiated, these things. Please read Galatians 5 about the flesh, murderous thoughts. These are all spiritual diseases that fall away when the individual, the believing one, gets serious, becomes intentional about his relationship with God and his spiritual growth. Please understand that when we get serious with God, God gets serious with us. Good morning, beloved. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.